This recording, New York 13, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Karma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Karma, Karma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Karma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Karma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. Yeah, the building was my neighborhood. For example, you know how people here say, "Oh, your kid's grown up and everything. Oh, he's so much bigger than I saw him the last time," or whatever. All that in me growing up happened in my building. So I had the neighbors who lived on 15 when I lived on 14, and they were the ones I'd see going up the elevator. And it was in the elevator where you saw everybody. And I think that's one of the biggest differences when I talk with people who grew up in a small town or whatever. You know, I'm used to seeing strangers all the time. And so whenever I've gone to a little town where everybody knows everybody, it's a trip because that's not how I grew up. I always grew up used to seeing people. And I remember the first time that I went to see Minneapolis, I was on a school trip from college from this little rural town where I lived in, and we were coming up to the big city for something. And I looked in and I saw these big, beautiful buildings on a Saturday, but there was nobody. There wasn't anybody anywhere. And I was like, who stuck in a vacuum cleaner and sucked out all the people? And now it makes sense because it means that, you know, we probably were driving through downtown Minneapolis, which can be pretty empty on the weekend because nobody's working there. So it's a funny thing about the way I know I say my A's. I used to live on Harriet Avenue, 2400 Harriet. And I remember being on the bus, the number 2 bus, running along Franklin Avenue. Everybody had gotten off the bus except for me. It was about to reach its last end point. But it's dark, and it's kind of hard to see the streets. So I called out to the bus driver, "Could you please stop at Harriet Avenue?" And he was like, "What?" And I said, "Can you please stop at Harriet?" And he's like, "What? Could you please stop at Harriet? What?" And then I remembered I had this accent, so I said, "Could you stop at Harriet?" And he said, "Oh, sure." And the bus stopped. I have made a carrot and an apple salad that I actually learned how to make in Russia. And you take your carrot and you chop it up. And then you take your apple and you chop it up. And usually I use lemon juice in there. But, you know, you could be inspired to use orange juice. But I probably wouldn't use apple juice. I think, maybe the apple juice would work. But if I put Coca-Cola in there, some Coke, it'd be horrible. But I wouldn't put pop in there because we don't drink pop. In New York City, we drink soda. Here's another thing. We wear sneakers. We don't wear tennis or running shoes. And I've confused the kids in my daycare. I was like, "Please put your sneakers back on." And they look at me like, "Huh? Put your sneakers back on." And they're like, "What?" And they don't know what I'm saying when I say sneakers. And that's what I grew up calling them. I didn't call them running shoes or tennies. They're sneakers.